The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Fergus Findlay is with me now, though, columnist with the Irish Examiner, to talk about breaking up the HSE, but not necessarily maybe in the way people might imagine. I guess in our mind and in people's minds listening, Fergus, they might think this is a clarion call to go back to the old health boards, but not so.
And I don't think so. I mean, I start from the proposition, and I said this before, I was on the board of the HSE for 5 years. I applied to join the board and I was selected and I worked there for 5 years. And though I say so, I shouldn't, work really, really hard alongside some absolutely brilliant people, both at board level and in the management, absolutely brilliant people who know day in and day out that they're failing. They know that it isn't working. And I think there's a number of reasons it isn't working. One of them is it's far too big. And that's where the sort of break it up point comes from. My daughter works for a multinational, a global company. You'd know them if I told you that among their products are Mars bars, M&M's, Pedigree Chum, Whiskers cat food, enormous range of products. They function in 186 countries in the world. The HSE employs more people than this global company does. So that's how big the HSE is.
Sorry, they employ more people than that unnamed company.
Wow. Which is a global company. Yeah. The HSE has more people, give or take roughly the same, actually, as that company
does. Okay, yeah, but still.
That's how big the HSE is. So you start from a point that, and I gave an example in the piece I wrote about, you remember the awful scandal in a place called Áras Attracta a few years ago, where elderly people with disabilities were being abused and mistreated. And it immediately arrived at the desk of the then CEO of the HSE. And the first question he had to ask is, what is Áras Attracta? Where is it? Is it ours? Who runs it? He knew nothing about it, and he couldn't possibly know anything about a little centre down in Mayo where people were being abused. How could he possibly know anything about it? But he had to find out in double quick time. That's typical of what goes on all the time. And that's why I think there is this huge problem of size and scale, which usedn't to be the case. I mean, I know there were terrible critics of the old health boards, but there was a CEO in Kilkenny. And he was in charge of the South Eastern Health Board. Mm. And if there were problems in Waterford or Kilkenny or Carlow, they landed on his desk. They didn't go up the line a further 10 steps and so on. To be honest with you, I think that worked better. There were things that the health boards couldn't do, but that sense of being accountable at a more local level was very important to the system. The second thing that And I can say this from experience, meeting after board meeting after board meeting, we worry about hospitals. We get frantic about what's going on in hospitals. But that accounts for less than half of the HSE's budget.
Yeah.
Much more of the HSE's budget is spent on community services, mental health, disability, older people and so on. It gets no attention, absolutely none, because The crisis in the hospital is what's on the front page of the paper, what's exercising the minister, what's up in the Doyle, and so on. You had a contributor in, brilliant man called Brendan Kelly, a few minutes ago. Brendan Kelly works in one of the most isolated and vulnerable areas of the whole health system, mental health. Mm. He and his colleagues do brilliant work, but they are completely unsurrounded by the supports they should be surrounded by. Absolutely unsurrounded. And I couldn't tell you the last time there was a board discussion about mental health in the HSE, because there are too many other priorities. There's too much conflicting priorities. And that's what has to be fixed. I don't know whether you break it up. I don't know whether you start again on a per function basis, an agency for disability, an agency for older people. I don't know what the right answer is.
Because the wrong
answer is where we are now.
Because that's something you suggest in the article, is that perhaps that is one way of breaking it up. That you do it per function.
Per function.
So how in your mind would that operate? I mean, would there be any kind of big board oversight, or is there a hospital system with a kind of a hospital board of management CEO at the top?
It was seriously thought about at the time the HSE was set up. There was quite a substantial debate about one agency in Ireland to run our hospitals. We have 55 hospitals in Ireland.
Yeah.
Some big, some small. give or take, to 55. And it would be possible for one organisation to run all them, to apply standards, to have centres of excellence, to organise all that. That would be possible. And then the rest has to be figured. You have to figure out how to do that properly. If it were me, I'd have a go at a national agency for disability. I think it would do a better job than what's going on at the moment. I'd have a go at trying to put real leadership in charge of mental health. I mean, if we were doing a pub quiz now, and the pub was full, and I asked you to tell me who in Ireland is in charge of Ireland's mental health service, nobody in the pub would be able to tell me. Nobody. Who's in charge of Ireland's disability services? Who is it? Do you know that old Henry Kissinger remark? I want to ring. I want to talk to you.
I want to talk to you. Who do I ring? Yeah.
If you want to talk to anyone about disability, who do you ring? You have to ring the CEO of the HSE. And the CEO of the HSE has, as good as he is, has 1,000 other things on his plate. It's mad. It's mad. It's crazy. The way we're trying to do it is just crazy.
So if you were to break it up on a per function basis, let's kind of go down this rabbit hole to a degree. And I'm sure you've kind of been in touch since you wrote the piece for The Examiner with people you would have worked with within the HSE who would have a view on this. What challenges might you run into? Kind of duplication of services, systems not being able to talk to each other?
You'd have a bit of all that. The unwrapping of it all would be enormously difficult. There's no doubt about that. And I should tell you, by the way, that I've spoken to a lot of people in the HSE since I wrote that piece. Nobody agrees with me. Absolutely nobody agrees with me.
Do they agree with the premise that you're starting off with a system that's broken?
They agree with the problem that we're all dealing with a system that's broken. And some of them deal with it 24/7. I mean, they just never stop. My hat is off to them. But it's almost like everyone in the HSE is following the old Beckett rule of try to fail better the next time. We don't set ourselves up for success, and we're not set up for success. I think the general feeling in the HSE is we have to try this new thing that is now happening, OREOs and regional areas. So the responsibility is being devolved down to senior management at regional level, and the thing is going to be organised on a much more regional basis.
So the health boards?
Well, it's not the health boards because they're divisions of the HSE. They're not separate entities. They don't have any autonomy. All their budget comes from head office. The CEO is still the boss, and so on. They account, insofar as they account, to the overall board of the HSE. I mean, I think regional authority would be better than regional area. I think giving them independent boards and making them properly accountable on the ground would have significant advantages in terms of service.
I guess what some people would be nervous about on that front is that you end up with just kind of extra middle management in every kind of local area, as it were, and no depletion of middle management at national level.
We have lots more managers and administrators and clerical officers.
We've
now set up the regional areas. We have 6 regional executive officers who are the CEOs within that area reporting to the existing management. So we've already set up a new management structure within the management structure. And I'm not opposed to that if it delivers better service and if it delivers better results. But the thing it must deliver better accountability. We're not set up to do that in Ireland at all. The reason the health boards were seen as having failed was that if you look at Kilkenny, Waterford, Carlow, for example, that's an area you'd know very well.
Yeah.
And it needs a real centre of excellence in terms of cancer diagnosis and so on. They fight over it. We want it in Carlow, we want it in Kilkenny, and we end up never getting it.
Mm.
The abolition of the health boards enabled that to happen. It enabled the centres of excellence to be developed where they needed to be developed, and now they're in place. But it also enabled this enormous bureaucracy to be created. And everybody who understands anything about bureaucracy, and that's everybody, knows that bureaucracies end up serving themselves. A bureaucracy to serve the interests of people is like a contradiction in terms.
Yeah. And so was there a prevailing view from the people who got in touch with you from within the HSE, the people you knew, who said, Fergus, listen, I agree absolutely with the kind of the premise, the system is broken, you've got it all wrong, here's what we should do?
No. No.
Okay.
No, I think there's very, very wide acceptance that the HSE is not working the way it should. It's not serving the interests of people the way it should. That it's got all these endless conflicts going on. Conflicts of priority, conflicts of focus, that nobody seems to be able to resolve. It firefighting day after day after day, never planning, never building the house in such a way that it's fireproof. And everybody knows that. Nobody can deny that. But people talk about, you know, maybe some different structure will do it or something. I mean, I think a radical shakeup has to happen.
Yeah.
Has to happen. And what's happening now at the moment, and forgive me if I put it this way, everyone knows about the problems in our hospitals, everybody, because they're in the papers every day and so on. Nobody knows how close we are to an unmerciful disaster in relation to older people living alone in the community.
Yeah.
We are not serving them at all. We're not delivering the services they need and that they are entitled to. And there's going to be some terrible, awful tragedy in some old person's home, and it will suddenly be discovered this happened on the HSE's watch. And then suddenly the priority will shift to that.
Yeah.
Do you know, it seems to take a scandal or a tragedy every time for us to begin to think, oh God, why weren't we dealing with that at the time?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I actually was thinking about this in a slightly different context as I was on my way up to Dublin today. I was just thinking about the budget and things because, you know, we're going to be covering in such detail tomorrow. And not in the context of older people, but in the context of people with, you know, additional needs and disability services. And I just thought, if you can't get it right at a time when you've got 20 billion spare euro in the kitty, when are you going to get it right? You know what I mean? It'd be an awful thing to waste this opportunity that we find ourselves in. And I'm not talking about spending all that Apple time. That's not what I'm talking about. I just mean we're at a point in our history where we're abundantly wealthy. And if you can't get services right for those vulnerable citizens, be they the elderly living alone or living in homes or disability services, I don't know when you're going to do it.
Well, you know, we have a policy in Ireland. It's a bit of public policy that says money should follow the patient. It's a core bit of public policy. And everybody says, but not here, not yet, not now. If you had a situation in Ireland where the big service providers were told, the money that you're getting, you're getting 350,000 a year for residential services, 20,000 a year for day services. The residential services are inadequate. The day services are totally inadequate.
Yeah.
And that's per person with an intellectual disability in Ireland. 550,000, give or take, per person. We're going to give it to the family instead. And we're going to enable them to shop around. Could you imagine the reform? Could you imagine the change, the improvement in quality that would happen if money really followed the patient? Now, there are systems all over the world where individualized funding is at the core of service. And in every single case, it doesn't work in every situation. It doesn't work in an emergency department. But in long-term chronic services, mental health, intellectual disability, older people, when people have the money in their back pocket and other people are queuing up to
the service providers then are competing to
they're competing
to, and for the that money,
quality
yeah.
improves enormously. So that's one little reform we could make. Follow good practice in other countries.
Fergus Finney, columnist with the Irish Examiner. Fergus, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.